This is SMC. If it's about school marketing and communications, you'll find it here. It's Insight Applied. And now, here's Brad and Scully.
Hello, school marketers, and welcome to SMC. If it's about school marketing and communications, we will be talking about it here. I'm Brad Entwistle, and this is episode 114 for Wednesday, September 6, 2017. And on the other side of the country, by the magic of the internet, Scully, how are you, my friend?
I am in fine form. Spring is in the air, allegedly.
All that means is the onset of hay fever.
This is SMC. It's Insight Applied.
And so to news that you can use, and I've got to say, Scully, this first news article, it depressed me somewhat. The headline depressed me. Don't worry about the content, just the headline. 7 tech trends that will shake up content marketing in 2018. Now, this is September. We've just got into September. That means John Hall, who is the co-founder and CEO of Influence & Co., who wrote this article, good article, but he had to be writing it in August, thinking this is the first of the crop of predictions for what's going to change next year.
Yeah, I think using old speak, he's looking for a long shelf life for this particular article, and I'm sure it will live out in internet land for a long time because it's really good. It's very interesting, and it focuses in on the rapidly, of course, changing tech trends and the impact they're going to have on marketing. And we know that technology and the skills we need to learn are changing everything relating to marketing now. And we have to stay up to date on all these advances and identify how they can really enhance really what it is we're doing in our content marketing and anything to do with marketing.
Now, we've got to say this article from John is pretty high level. It's talking about marketing and technology at the highest level. They're not talking about a new little app that's been developed or something like that. These are the big mega trends. Let's deal with them quickly. Number one, social will serve as publishing outlets, not just sharing platforms. So, Scully, we've seen that a lot as traditional publishers have been using the social media platforms as their primary publishing vehicles. I think there's some big problems with that because, as we've always said, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, they're all owned by those companies. You own your email list and you own your own website.
Yeah, well, look, they're going where the money is, aren't they? That's what's driving all of this. And why wouldn't they become publishers? They've got all the content in the world. It's your content and it's my content. Our challenge to you and to all of our organizations is to be publishers ourselves, create such good content that we can use the Facebooks of this world to share that content and help distribute our wonderful content to a whole new level. But yep, they are making a lot of money at being publishers in the old-fashioned sense. So it's changing everything from competition within organic reach, all sorts of stuff. But be aware of it. They are publishers in their own right, and they've elbowed out, barged away the old-fashioned publishers.
Number two is that machine learning will enable content conversations. So your school brand's success in content marketing does depend on your ability to deliver the right content to the right people at the right time. And there's really nothing new about that equation. It's been with us for the last century or so. It's just that we haven't been able to do that in a perfect way. So we've always been limited by what the mediums were enabled us to deliver. Now those limitations are starting to fall away. And that's really where machine learning comes in because it enables us to, as they say here, have conversations at scale. Scully, are you feeling like a conversation with a piece of artificial intelligence?
I'm always flattered with the word intelligence being in any conversation that I'm involved in. Look, it's clever stuff though, because it enables you to get the relevant message to the right person. Think of it that way. It's just about getting the right message to the right people, solving the problems of your potential parent, your community, but it's getting the right stuff to the right people. Think of it that's all. And for that reason, I think it's fantastic.
The tools are coming to do it. Number three, the rise of virtual and augmented reality will make visual content non-negotiable. He makes the comment a lot of people have been burnt out on promises of how virtual reality, VR, and augmented reality, AR, these technologies have changed the game, but there's only been some lackluster adoption. He says these technologies he sees going mainstream in 2018. Do you think mainstream equals schools, Scully?
I think VR can be very expensive. because it's a virtual world that doesn't exist. But AR, it's already out there. It's already happening. It's using the existing world that you have, or campus, or facilities, or opportunities, whatever you want to call them. And it's bringing those to life through augmentation. So look, both of them are going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. The key point here actually is not to be intimidated by the technology, but just to focus in on the fact this is about the importance of anything visual in your marketing. And without it, the expectation is going to be ever more. We've got to have something really visually appealing. So this will help you to be even more visually appealing, but don't just rely on old-fashioned methods now. It's got to be visually appealing as well as whetting the appetite of all the other senses that we have.
Number four is advanced tech will make full content personalization a reality, pointing to Amazon and Google, how we all essentially have individualized experiences of those companies, and that Gartner predicts that by 2018, businesses that have invested in across-the-board personalization will outsell those that haven't by 20%. Whether that applies to school, I totally understand that prediction applying to a product-driven firm, not necessarily to a school. But Scully, I think that even now the tools exist in many in a content management system to actually personalize. So if you know the person who is returning to your site is interested in early years education, then you put pictures of early years on the website. That's virtually mainstream. That's there now. This just takes that whole idea and ramps it up.
Yeah, it's great stuff. It's really good once you get your head around it and drilling it down to the example you showed. That's key. That's what this really means.
Number five is live video streaming via social will create new content opportunities. We were talking about that just the other episode with our own John Eggleston, live streaming.
Yeah, fantastic. It adds a level of authenticity. There's a little bit of the nervousness at the time where we get it right, but people love to see it. I can see it only getting bigger and bigger, be it awards, be it events, or just be it discussing visions and values. Embrace it, because I think it's a great opportunity for schools.
Yeah, a marketing technology that for once is almost tailor-made for schools. Number six, mobile optimization will be standard across industries. We won't spend too much time on this one. Suffice to say that optimizing for mobile isn't just a recommendation anymore. It's an absolute requirement. We've harped on for that one for long enough, but well and truly, most people are engaging with your website particularly, but your digital media in general, on mobile platforms. So it's definitely now in the requirement category. And artificial intelligence is number seven. Artificial intelligence will begin creating and enhancing content. Well,
it already is. It already is. The big publishers are doing it already, and they're serving different headlines to different audiences, or they're rewriting content.
Indeed, a lot of the financial press is automatically generated from companies' annual reports as they're released. The artificial intelligence goes and scrapes all the information out and writes the article, and most people can't tell the difference.
Yeah, but don't worry. Robots aren't taking over just yet, certainly not in school marketing, but it's a huge thing and it's only going to get bigger.
And so to news item number two, and this one struck a chord with us. It's titled Five New Skills to Look For When Hiring Your Next Marketing Superstar. Now, we know from you're a listener to School Marketing and Communications. We know most of you operate in very small marketing teams. That's just the reality of what schools do. In fact, most of our listeners will be working in an environment where they probably are the only school marketer. So when it comes to hiring, and this is something that you can build your own skill sets based on, number one, hire marketing specialists who can be generalists.
Brilliant. Absolutely. We all need to have a particular skill. It's almost impossible to be a master of everything, much as that's expected of you in your role. Mm. But the ability to write, the knowledge of social media, whilst all these skills are important, be really, really look for if you're recruiting someone who's a very, very strong in one element, and then they can grow the others.
Hire data-driven marketers who are good with numbers. Mm. Well, the point is that as marketing makes the shift from what we would call traditional marketing into digital marketing, and for schools, I'm thinking we're about halfway through the transition process, even before we start to say, well, look where digital will take us in the future. But with all that digital comes a lot more numbers, statistics, and so really got to be fairly comfortable with looking at a spreadsheet and analysing the numbers.
Yeah, not everyone's idea of heaven is to number crunch, but increasingly with the amount of data we're getting, it's becoming important. So embrace it.
Now, this number three, it's worth highlighting the article just for this in itself. Hire marketers who can sell.
Yeah, brilliant. We all have to sell. And I think it's such an important. Now, you might be selling an idea to the school or college executive, to the council, to your colleague who sits next door, or you may be taking people on a school tour, but you are in the position. You need to know the different personas of your potential parents, of people who live in your area, whatever it might be, and the ability to articulate and the delight in communicating with others about your school is imperative. So that passion to sell and discuss is so important. Absolutely. I think it's non-negotiable.
Number four is hire marketing technologists, and essentially saying that hire the marketers who love technology, because that's where marketing is going, and who have the intellectual curiosity to learn the tools. I think that's really important. In fact, when I read this, I actually immediately thought of our good friend Brendan Schneider from Schneider B, because he is such the marketer who loves his technology. He gets in there and has a good look around and tries everything out just so that he knows, is there anything in this for us? Nine times out of 10, there's not. One time, there's something that's going to add to his marketing mix. Number five, hire marketers who are biased towards action.
At a school, you're often it. And even if you're not it, you've got a team and some support. Action is what it's all about. Not just pontification, not just strategic thinking. You need that. But it's about delivery. So you're being someone who's not proud, roll up your sleeves, get stuck in, find solutions and get things done. That's what it needs to be.
The ability to strike that really delicate balance between perfection and timing. It's a critical skill. And then to news item number three, once again, back to the high tech end of the world, augmented reality, a technology whose time has come, and that is with a question mark. This from the Content Marketing Association. And essentially they're saying that, well, is this big new push into augmented reality, because they're saying it's such an old technology, it's been around for so long, it was being hailed as the silver bullet as far back as 2010, 7 years ago. But granted, 7 years is a long time in the internet world. But they're pointing to, you know, Apple really potentially being able to pull off their party trick of breathing life into something that has happened, been released, and then didn't really go anywhere except for Pokemon Go, which had a moment of glory and then settled back into still a very good business model, mind you, but nowhere near as much fanfare as there was. And then there's that idea that virtual reality might need something to kick it off. So, Scully, I mean, where did you go with this one and its relevance for school marketers?
Well, I think it really does apply, as I said earlier, because at a school level, you can really bring things to bear by enhancing the visual dimension of your marketing offering. Now, I'm not just saying this with a crystal ball thinking one day. I've got blind faith, dare I say that, in Apple as much as anything. But they are producing this AR kit now, which is going to take the augmented reality to a whole higher level than just what Snapchat and Facebook are doing at the moment. Because you might see Snapchat with this little puppy's nose and sort of ears on someone's selfie. And that's kind of augmented reality. But this is going to go to a whole new level. Samsung, they're getting on board, not together with Apple, I used to add. The big technology providers are investing in this and they're coming up with very practical applications. I think it could be great for schools because it's a way of demonstrating your school is the cutting edge technologically, which increasingly everyone needs to be, of course, in terms of their curriculum offering. But in terms of marketing, it's another dimension that will be get at-able as opposed to just completely out of reach with because of budget. Have a look at what's going on because it's going to really help you enhance the look and feel of your school.
So I was going to use this word. The reality of it is, bad choice of words, but the reality is that augmented reality is a technology whose time has arrived because the tools to create it are becoming more available and cheaper, and the cost of developing the apps is therefore dropping. So watch augmented reality for your school. It's coming your way.
This is SMC. It's Insight Applied.
And now to our sponsor for this episode of School Marketing and Communications, and of course, brought to you by School Marketing Institute. Now, if you're looking to clarify your strategy, powerfully articulate your messaging, and integrate it all with a suite of industrial strength digital tools, then it's time you got a personal introduction to Image 7's School Marketing Institute. But before you go, have a listen to Peter Moulds, principal of Bishop Tyrrell Anglican School in Newcastle.
I'm an educationalist. I have a lot of experience in terms of teaching and learning and focusing on kids. I have a good understanding of finances. I don't know a lot of what's best in terms of how best to market a school, both inbound and outbound. I have some wonderful, passionate staff that believe in the school, believe in the vision, but they also don't have that type of experience, and the SMI gives us the chance of getting some mentoring to build the capacity within my own staff from people that actually have that experience and have that knowledge for a very cost-effective price for us.
And that's Peter Moulds. And if you'd like to find out more, you can visit image7.com.au/SMI. New members, we are limiting it to one a week. So if it sounds like you'd benefit, visit image7.com.au/SMI and book your introduction.
This is SMC. It's Insight Applied.
Each episode, we bring in one of the team members from Image 7 to give us a little bit of an insight into what they do. And this episode, Scully's with Vanessa Reside.
Indeed I am, who is, may I add, a writer, a content creator extraordinaire. And for that reason, I've invited her along to talk about that very important skill, writing. Now, with that blogging, writing media releases, whatever it may be, how do you prepare for them? So, hello and welcome. And what I want to ask, first of all, what are the most important things to consider when you're writing?
Okay, first and foremost, I would say know your audience. So, are your audience going to be the students, current parents, prospective families, teachers, or the general public? Do they know much about education, or are you going to have to really break down the information? And have they chosen to find out about your school, or do you need to grab their attention somehow? Next up, understand your topic. So know what you're writing about and make that content valuable for your readers. So that might mean you need to do some research, make a couple of phone calls, or talk to the staff at the school. Really know what you're talking about. And finally, I'd say ensure your content is easy to read. So use nice short sentences, don't put too much into each paragraph. And if you need to, use lists and bullet points to break up the information.
Awesome. So do your homework and make it easy to read. But that's all very well. Now, we all know at schools, you've got to write one thing for a yearbook, the next thing for a blog, the next thing for the newsletter, and then you've got to write a media release. So how do you approach writing these in these different formats?
Okay, so in each different circumstance, your audience is going to be different. So if you're writing a school blog, your audience have chosen to be there. They actually want to find out about your school. Whereas writing for the media, you need to capture their attention. You need to really grab their attention as they're flicking through that paper. Now, this may be by using a great headline or a fabulous photo. Basically, what you want to do is write down your ideas and then find an exciting way to make them stop and read. Next up, I'd say you need to look at the level of detail you use. So for the media, you probably want to use less school-based lingo. You want to give them the main interesting and exciting points and how it relates to their lives, but not go into too much schooly detail. And then make your content relevant. So for a media release, try and find a way that's really going to pull the general public in. So make it relevant to their lives so that they can elicit an emotional response to the article and actually care.
Yeah. That would be nice. So, okay, we'll sit back from the specifics, but overall, how do you become a good writer? How do you become an effective writer as opposed to all the other skills you're supposed to have? How do you perfect these things?
Okay, for me, first and foremost, it's reading. Read, read, and read some more. Make sure you read a variety of texts and genres. And in the education sector, I suppose, for me, It's making sure you read all of those letters from the principals, read the websites, look at different schools, read your, you know, find out the research, what's actually hot in the education world at that point in time, and know what you're talking about. Be creative, try new things, don't be afraid to push the boundaries and present your information in exciting ways. Practice communicating. So this is in all areas of your life. I think have discussions, go to the staff room and chat to the teachers. Make sure that you're communicating verbally, non-verbally, in all different ways. And finally, make time to write. So you need to know when your best time for writing is, whether it's in the morning or the afternoon, and do you need quiet time to do it effectively?
Quiet time. Quiet time. He chuckles to himself, having been to so many schools. But yes, yeah, you do. You do. I agree. Absolutely important. So I'm going to give you one final pearl of wisdom to share with us all about becoming as good a writer, if that's possible, as yourself.
One final pearl of wisdom. Wow. Look, I think it would just be wrapping up what we've talked about, knowing your client, speaking to your audience, making the content easy for your readers to digest, having that research to back you up and making your information relevant to the world today, and making sure you read, get out there, read a lot, read everything, make time to write and be creative.
Wow. There's several pearls in that one. Thank you so much, Vanessa. Great to see you, and we'll get you back on soon.
Thank you.
This is SMC. It's Insight Applied.
And so to our marketing example. Now, this one we've borrowed from the press, the good old-fashioned, you know, printed on paper, throw it on the lawn in the morning press, the Herald Sun. And the headline reads, SA parents using Facebook to abuse teachers at their children's schools. Now, those of us that are in and around schools a bit. No, well, there's no actual news in that. What the Herald Sun had was somebody from the South Australian Primary Principals Association to actually comment on it. That made it news. But Scully, I mean, they've documented some pretty horrid cases here. But, you know, the unfortunate thing is this is social media. This is 2017. It shouldn't happen, but it happens all the time. But what's it got to do with marketing?
Well, unfortunately, the school marketer, it has everything to do with the school marketer for starters, because I guarantee the first person who will be asked about this once the principal's received a call from the press, what's this about? How come you've not sorted this out? It's on Facebook. What do you know about this? How can we stop this? How can we pull this down off Facebook? Which, of course, is a notoriously hard thing to do. So understand. You have policies, and if you don't have policies, it's obviously marketing that can help to create those policies for parents when they enroll. But the key thing I think that does fall within the realms of marketing is media monitoring. And there are some great tools available, very cost-effective, where you can actually monitor what's being said, not just in the old-fashioned press clippings and radio and TV, but also online. And it'll scour Facebook and other social media to deliver you these words before they need to get out. So it enables you to take these things offline, ideally, to address them, to have a communication, to encourage people to come and talk with the school, or to deal with accordingly. If they're vile and crossing the sort of boundaries of the law, then deal with them appropriately. But it's going to be yet another area that marketing person's going to get the tap on the shoulder. So be prepared. And yeah, media monitoring services, there's a number of products out there and services. We use some. Absolutely vital, I would say. So you've really just got to have them if you're sitting at a school.
This is SMC. It's Insight Applied.
It's time for rants and raves, where we throw a brick bat or a bouquet in somebody's direction about something that they've written, done, or a campaign that they've thrust on the world. Now, this one is an article. And it's titled, How Anthropology Can Help You Unlock Dazzling Marketing Ideas. Michael Henderson, who's the corporate anthropologist and director of Cultures at Work. Well, Scully, I hope I know where you're going, because if you're going to get a brickbat if this you don't go where I hope you're going with this one.
Yeah. Oh, it's a great big, it's the bouquet, it's the rave, it's the high five, it's all of them. I love it. First of all, yes, I'm a pretentious old fart, but anyone that incorporate the word anthropology with contemporary marketing has got to be good. But it applies so perfectly, you know.
Yeah, but fun aside, it is so real, isn't it? It's so on.
So why didn't I think of this? When I was at university, you know, anthropologists were studying the inner workings of culture in the lost tribes of the Amazon.
I thought you would have been doing first-hand studies of dinosaurs, mate.
Yeah, thank you. So, but
let
what
that
it
one
is,
go through to the keeper really quick.
Yeah, well, there's another 25 minutes of podcast if you really want to take the gloves off on that one. But this anthropology and the application of some of those skills, if you like, is a brilliant way of looking at marketing, because by understanding culture and how we react to the world around us, which is really what anthropologists do, It really is an important skill, because we as marketers need to understand what problems we can call them customers, our parents, prospective parents, what their problems are and what needs solving. Because if you solve those problems, then you as the marketer have done your job, because people are going to be coming to you. They're looking to you for advice. You're the authority. You just know students, education, mental health, whatever these issues are, so much better than anybody else. So anthropologists have for generations approached some of these problems in a very analytical way. Of course they do. But they're seeing, it would appear, things that mass marketers have been missing. And one of their key criteria, apparently, the three motivating forces at work within human culture that drive all behaviors are control, that sort of need to be in charge of the situation.
And the vital resources that keep us going.
Yeah, absolutely. The desire to relate, wanting to relate with others or with the environment around, and just connect, and then develop the need or desire to change, grow, adapt, innovate, ideate, another great word, and invent. So if you apply that kind of filter to the problems of your prospective customer or your parents or just your broader community, then you're absolutely nailing it and working out what it is that's going to resonate. So the content you're creating, the messages you're sending out is going to work well. So that anthropology textbook that your old Auntie Nellie had or someone had in the teacher's staff room, dust it off, have a look. Really clever. No, just look at this article. Clever way of approaching a really important problem or a really important part of what we need to do as marketers.
Now, the reality is that none of us, as much as I would like to now, become a social anthropologist, you know, none of us are going to get there. We've still got our day job to do. But the thing is that this article can spark lots of good ideas about just the things that we should look at or spend a bit of more time understanding. You know, in most of these articles, there's usually one standout quote that I've highlighted. And this one, Harvard Business School professor Dorothy Leonard refers to this area as deep smarts. And I like that. It's deep smarts. And along with the quote, anthropologists understand that the human brain views brands in a similar manner to how it views people. Brands are attributed with anthropomorphic qualities and, in particular, are evaluated through the two key filters of capability and approachability. So your brand, your school brand, how capable is it seen and how approachable is it seen to be? Anthropology has made its way onto SMC. It's a new dawn.
Love it.
This is SMC. It's insight applied.
And that almost brings us to the end of episode 114 of SMC. Now, if you're listening from the Image 7 website, you can pop over now to your favourite podcast player for your fortnightly dose of school marketing and communications goodness. You can search for SMC, School Marketing and Communications, and you'll absolutely find us there. You can even leave us a review if you'd like. We love good reviews. If you've got any questions, comments, marketing examples, or a rant or rave of your own, you can email us smc@image7.com.au. And that is it for this episode of SMC. From Scully and myself, Brad Entwistle. Bye for now.
Goodbye.